we're going to have a special guest tonight by the name of Fred Yu.
Master
Fred Yu.
I don't know about master, but yeah.
So to give a little bit of background, since it's my job to make people feel good about themselves, Fred Yu is not only one of my trading partners over at Oakland Sancho EBM, he also teaches jiu-jitsu over at SBG.
Mm-hmm.
He is it fair to say, a former MMA fighter, amateur MMA fighter?
Yeah, yeah.
He helped me with my bucket list. I got to train for an MMA fight with Fred, and that was fun. He's also trained in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
What other Oakland native.
Oakland native, born and raised.
Marvel fan.
Yeah.
When he's not here doing podcasts with us, he is saving New York from flying vultures by shooting webs out of his hand. What else do we want to tell the people?
That's about it. I mean, that's a jiu-jitsu brown belt. Just formally. I just got it a month ago. Brown belt. Yeah.
That was a cool post. I was like,
boy, that is high.
Yeah.
That's way up there.
My coach's first brown belt, so that was
wow.
Yeah, that was special for me. Yeah.
Wow.
There's tissue in my knee popping.
Wow.
So he's a fan of the show, and he always asked me, he was like, hey, next time you guys tape, why don't I come by? I was like, no, why don't you come and be on the show with us? So we're hoping we'll stay. Also, because we are celebrating the beauty of the Bay Area and the things that we've seen are diversity, I feel like we get to check one more box. We have our Latino token. We have our African token. We have our African American. And now we have our Asian American. If we keep this up, we might actually get a Native American on the show.
Maybe.
So getting into things, I'm going to avoid the drama of the last month and all those things. We are here. If you are not aware, we are the premier MMA podcast brand known as Cage Against the Machine. This is a show called Round Zero where we make predictions. We will be talking about UFC 228, which is Tyron Woodley versus Darren Till.
Big shout out for actually calling him Tyron, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Most people always say Tyrone, and I'm looking at them like,
where's the E?
What the heck? Where's the E? Talking about?
But truthfully, what they really want to say is Jamal, but I'm just not even going to touch that.
Oh, boy, let's not go there.
You know? So, Dr. J.K. Atkins, so good to see you again. What is one fight on the prelims or the card that people may not be looking for that you're excited about?
I would say probably Nico Price in a duel, a duel Rasak Al-Hassan.
My dude.
Only because neither of these fighters has faced competition to this level.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that in itself makes it intriguing all by itself.
Will the freedom train that is Al-Hassan be stopped by Nico Price?
No. No,
good to hear.
Abdul's like a dynamite. He's like a ball of dynamite. Yeah. You know, you watch him fight. It's just a solid like.
Well, Nico Price is so slick on the ground.
Yes.
Sometimes he catches people slipping, which is why people call him the hybrid.
Yeah. But normally I do side with the technical guy.
Yeah.
Normally I really do because I that's how I fight. Like more technical. I don't like the brawler type. Like. Blast through somebody. But Abdul's power is just too much, man. Yes. I mean, it looks like it's too much. And for Nico, if you watch Nico fight, he's a little sloppy. There's some holes.
He can be.
Yeah, it can be a little
especially
bit sloppy in transition.
Especially when he gets tired.
Yeah, especially when he gets tired. But he's been through some wars. I wouldn't doubt him. But then Abdul, dude, his power is dynamite, man.
And it is.
Yeah.
And Price likes to derail the hype trains. You think of Brandon Thatch and Randy Brown. And, you know, he likes, to, you know, these guys that got... They're hype going.
Wait, pause.
They're on a good
Brandon
one.
Thatch was a hype train?
He was for a second.
He's been on a losing train.
So sad. Like, but, you know, I think you also bring up something about Nico Price is that his bookings have targeted individuals who are high-level strikers that have huge holes in their ground game.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Hassan's judo, as he showed, is no joke. But my prediction will be this fight ends with a spinning technique so nasty they'll have to rename him Nkrumah.
Now we're throwing spinning ish. Wow. I was literally going to pick this fight, JK. I'm glad you did. I just couldn't pronounce the guy's name.
Oh. Well, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Right.
Mr. Yu.
That was the one that I was really excited for on the card. But, I mean, I'm interested on the new lines versus the young lines there. I mean, Jim Miller, Diego Sanchez. Those, I mean... I picked the
both are going to get taken out by a guy named White.
Yeah, see, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
Wow. I mean, I guess that's interesting that you say that, because Alex White, I don't like at all. At all. Like, not even there is literally nothing about Alex White's game that translates to a win for him against Jim Miller for me.
Yeah, well, for me, it's more about Jim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It was more about, not so much about Alex White.
And that makes total sense, because Diego Sanchez is finished.
And you know, there's
a part of me that's always siding against the old dog. I always love the old veteran. I always want them to win, because it's part of my narrative. Mm-hmm. Watching MMA, the facts never add up for me. It's always the old guy gets demolished.
Yeah.
And, you know, time grinds down mountains to sand. And it's only a matter of time for Jim Miller, who I've always appreciated. I liked his style. I've always liked his style.
Yeah.
I've always liked what he represented. But I can't see any reason for for UFC booking not to feed Alex White with this. So
see, and that's the thing, is that you know me.
Yeah.
Whenever a guy is near the end of his rope, I'm always gonna side with the young lion.
Of course.
But Alex White, I look at his game, and there is literally nothing that I see that I like at all.
What I do want
to
shift
gears. I think he has enough knockout power to catch him, but I do. It's crazy, because for Diego, this is his 28th UFC fight. For Jim Miller, 30th UFC fight. These guys got a lot of miles on their body.
Yeah, I know that, and I see it. But watching Alex White, and I've watched his last five fights, and I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I don't think he can beat Jim Miller. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it.
And Jim needs to win. So if he does come out on top, do you think he should retire? Because
absolutely.
Four fight losing streak, and
absolutely.
Then you get one, you're like, yeah, this is
absolutely not, he should retire.
Or one FC.
They're both on losing streaks, by the way.
Man. Yes, they
look
are.
What it, yeah, so look what it's done.
They're
to
fighting
so many
for
people.
The spot on the UFC.
Diego's only lost two in a row, but they were both by first
Diego's
round.
Diego's a whole other combo. So with Diego versus White, it's really a battle of the terrible new member of Team Arrow versus the terrible new member of the Arrow villains. That's literally if you look at them.
See, when I look at Diego Sanchez, I think of one thing, the old school Hammer song, Ring 'Em. Because he consistently gets his bell rung. I mean, it's to a point where it's done now. It's just Ring 'Em and it's over.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I mean, he's from that time of just keep moving forward, just keep walking forward. Mm-hmm. And people have loved that style, but I don't think it aged well.
Just keep swinging.
Matter of fact,
just
that
keep Ringo
should be
just
his walkout
keep swinging.
Song.
JK is too legit to quit.
Hey.
The fight that I'm really actually excited about in the beginning is going to be Aldana.
Aldana and Pudilova.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I can say that second word the way you say it.
Why
I don't know if it's pause-worthy, but I also feel like I'm offending people.
Hey,
like,
she's Czech. That's her name. Can we just move on?
And he did say Czech, not chick.
Right. I was about to say, is it Puditang or is it Pudilova?
Okay. Sarate.
But Aldana's hands. So all of a sudden, the missus has caught the martial arts bug.
She's got the bug.
She's got the bug. So she's starting to hit pads, starting
to
learn.
Big shout out to the missus.
And so I show her. She's like, well, can you show me, like when we do boxing techniques, she's like, can you show me a good woman boxer or whatever? And the other day she walks in and she shows me the Instagram of Aldana. She's like, oh my God, how do you make the pads make that sound? I was like, that's called the power hand. That's called throwing from the core. So I'm really impressed to see what she can do. I get somebody who's going to take her to that level.
They're both scrappy.
They are scrappy.
Yeah, they're both
the thing
scrappy.
With Pudilova is Pudilova's gas tank is endless. Mm-hmm.
And Eastern Europeans just seem to understand kickboxing. It just seems to be in the blood.
If this fight gets anywhere beyond the middle of the second round, Aldana's chances decrease dramatically. Mm. Because Pudilova, by the time third round starts, that's when she starts kicking up the pace.
Yeah.
And she has made fighters wilt with that pressure.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like the ethnic ill version of Friends.
Okay, Phoebe on the Phoebe's Aldana,
yeah.
And then
Phoebe, yeah, Phoebe versus
and then Phoebe's Pudilova too.
They, yeah, you know what I mean? Like they have just the savage fight in the coffee shop.
I've never seen
over a donut.
I have no clue what these guys are talking about.
I don't either. I'm just guessing.
Well, we've done a great job of summoning some energy. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and then we will get into this main card. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by
the Dr. J.K. Atkins.
We also brought in co-founder
Brain Damage.
We are also joined by our special guest, Mr.
Fred Yu.
That, everything you
nothing special about that.
There, he's beyond special. It's beyond special.
I gotta work on that.
Hey man, a two-letter last name.
I'll let the fans pick what my name is.
Special. You. today's episode is brought to you by Butcher Son because you're addicted to meat. We don't actually have any sponsors other than
San Francisco 49ers.
Do they actually pay us?
Just not kidding.
Yet. Or do they make you pay to see them? Done with you, NFL. Done with you. How can you bring them up? If we did have a sponsor, it would be Seawolf in Oakland, California, who always takes care of us and allows us to watch MMA fights and has never kicked us out of the bar. In fact, they'd greet us with hugs. So to me, this next fight, to start off the main card, to me, is the headliner.
To us.
The fact that other people were on this this card was inconsequential to me. Okay, so moving on. This is, unfortunately, this was supposed to be Zabit versus Yair Rodriguez, which was supposed to be a great, in our mind, a fireworks competition between Kung Fu kicking and Taekwondo.
I've got a theory about that.
And first...
That he's ducking him?
Well, first he says, I'm leaving the UFC and I can't do this fight. Then he's injured. Then he comes back and then magically he's injured a week before the fight. What's your theory?
He never wanted that smoke to begin with.
Not right. A chance.
Right.
Does anybody here actually want that smoke?
No, he'll take a fight with a washed up BJ Penn any day. But straight up. Somebody that's a youngster just like him, then all of a sudden
he's not fighting a Dagestani. He knows better. He knows better. But Brandon Davis seems to not know any better. And
this dude,
yeah, he's stepping up. That's respectable, I guess.
Yeah, he made 155.
Is it respectable
yesterday.
Or is it absolutely crazy?
It could just be a paycheck. Who knows?
The other level of it is he trains at Mark Henry's gym. So his contemporaries there are a cheater by the name of Eddie Alvarez. These are facts. But he also trains with Frankie Edgar, mm-hmm. with that incredible wrestling. He's also got the kickboxing to counter of Edson Barbosa.
Barbosa, yep. Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, he spends his time with Muslim Sokolov.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the King of Kung Fu.
Is Ricardo Almeida still the jiu-jitsu coach?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's his gym. Yeah. So then you got that Henzo Gracie jiu-jitsu. So you've got Dagestani wrestling. You know, from the straight, the mountain Sancho, like wushu training from a little kid. And I've said this many times on the show. When you start studying the Dagestani and the way they use Kung Fu.
I think he trained in Shaolin.
He spent some time there. Yeah. And in perspective, there are many videos you see of, in America, I'm trying to find the equivalent, that people use football to get themselves out of really bad, impoverished situations that might lead them to a life of crime. Wushu and Kung Fu is used in the same way in Dagestani.
So I got a theory on Zabit how he can pull off like all these trickery and stuff like
yes.
that. I mean, yes. If you watch his training montage, he's like always doing kicks like on top of a ball.
Yes.
Like doing kicks.
Yeah, with, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know, did you saw the yeah, video yeah, yeah. that Adam yeah, saw. Yeah. And then at the same time, he spent 6 years doing Wushu at like a Wushu academy.
Yes.
And I had the opportunity to train in Beijing for Wushu like one yes. summer. And all the kids do, all they do is live and breathe like Wushu. Yes. They don't go to school. It's like dormitories where they have
Did you
like
ever see that Dragon Girl documentary?
No.
Where it's like, that's just showing this girl like, just that story of her just training Wushu.
Yeah.
And and basically Sancho all day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's I guarantee you that's what he did for 6 years was live and breathe. All they do is eat, train three times a day. So the reason why he's probably so dynamic is because there's such a core group of kids, and and then all they do is fool around with trickery. Like, they do the fundamentals, fighting and stuff like that, but then on the free time, they're doing like tricks on each other and just you know, you can imagine just like dormitory, just like playing games on each other, doing little fancy kicks and like tricking each other and tag, like wushu tag or whatever it is, you know? So,
well, the one thing I will say to tag on to your point is the key for me will always be dexterity in the hips, and his dexterity is something like you've never seen.
Yeah.
And I and the quickness of his kicks are what is surprising, because you normally get that type of quickness out of a Taekwondo practitioner. And it's incredible the way he's able to put those together. And it's harmony.
You can't acquire that without being like secluded in a school for like 6 years. I mean, that's the reason why he's so dynamic and fluid, you know. Brandon Davis is not someone to sleep on either, though. He's very fundamental. He's a grinder. He's got grit, man.
He'll go to sleep, but sure. I mean, he may not be one to sleep on, but he will go to sleep.
I think the other secret here, without giving away too much game, is Brandon Davis is a grinder, which means a foundation in wrestling. And I think there's an assumption when you have a striker, and this is fair for many of them, especially Taekwondo guys, when you get them in the clinch, they don't know what to do and they're limited.
That is actually, I think that is a very fair assessment.
But when you fight a Sancho person, they're doing a lot of counters from the clinch. The wrestling actually sets up so many strikes, because that's kind of one of the cores of Tai Chi. So the trickery is going to come from starting this. So the question is, what round does the knockout come from? My thought is it's going to be a second round knockout by spinning leg to left hook.
You know, I never pick rounds. I'm just.
I know. I try to bait you. I try to bait you. It's like I drop the hand. Like.
I'm gonna agree and say second round spinning technique, but that's gonna create an opening for a submission.
Ooh, a submission. Okay.
So Zibi got good submissions too.
Brain.
First round
submission or knockout.
Knockout.
Zibi.
Yep.
Unanimous. Okay, moving on to our next fight. This is complicated for me. Mm. Very, very complicated. I'm a huge fan of Carla Esparza. I was really surprised at the outcome of her last fight. I thought with her rebuilding her system that she was going to show some big promise. I don't understand what happened still. If there's a person that's supposed to beat her, she got put into the ring with them. Tatiana Suarez, on numbers alone, is a great counter for Carla Esparza. I'm trying not to be sentimental.
Why? Why are you sentimental?
Because I want Carla to win, but I feel like she's been fed to Tatiana to lose.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with you. Tatiana's big. They both got strong wrestling backgrounds.
Yes.
Carla's been known to have trouble trying to close the distance due to her height, punching her way in. You saw that with Joanna. Yes. Joanna kept her at bay. She wasn't able to shoot.
Yep.
Tough. And the one she shoots low, and Tatiana's definitely is going to sprawl really hard on that. I think Tatiana's going to win from the top.
Sure. I got Tatiana as well. I didn't really enjoy Carla Esparza on the season of Tough that they were on.
Right.
Her and Penne and Felice, they just seemed like they're little bit of bullies to some of the Shire girls, so I didn't really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was against you in that. Who was it that beat her? Claudia Gadelha?
Yeah.
So,
well, you know why I rooted for her though, right?
Yeah, I know she trains locally or something. Yeah.
No, she's from the area. That's why.
Where's she from?
She's from San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The other thing, by the way, I forgot. I'm mad at you. I'm so mad at you, Brain.
Why?
Maurice Green. Maurice Green from Tough this week.
I didn't even know Tough started. I missed it.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Wednesday. I did not see it.
Show's still going on, huh? I thought they were going to cancel it. Yeah,
believe it or not, I was doing my film study. I was doing my film study for this podcast.
Watch that episode, then you'll know why I'm mad. It's all you guys' fault.
Okay. Well,
I got to say, Biggie Smalls.
I'll just say that Carla Esparza and Cage Cousins, I know you've heard me before, so I will say this again. I have always had an issue with fighters who are unable to finish fights because eventually it comes back at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Carla Esparza is one of the fighters out there, both male or female, that is unable to finish fights. However, with that being said, these are the fights that young fighters tend to lose.
Right.
And sometimes these are the fights where experience takes over. And if Suarez does not keep Esparza at the end of her jab, she is going to be susceptible to the lady that I call the queen of the ground and pound.
Agreed.
So I am going to take Esparza by decision. I think she is going to ragdoll Suarez.
I like your optimism. I cannot allow my heart to get fluttery.
Yeah, for me, this is not about optimism. This is just about watching the film. And this is what the film tells me.
Fair. And unfortunately, that's the NBA in me who looks over and goes, takedown accuracy of 81%. I think this goes to Suarez by decision.
I got Suarez third round submission.
Oof.
That's Suarez nice. By split decision.
There you go.
Split decision. So it's close.
We're rooting for you, Carla, obviously. moving on to our next fight. We have...
Oh, boy.
JK's favorite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Jessica Andrade versus Carolina Kovalkiewicz.
This is going to be fireworks.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
Is it?
I think it's going to be a good technical back and forth. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I don't know. This seems like a very one-sided fight.
Which side?
I don't see a snowball chance in heck of Carolina making it through this fight.
Because Jessica takes her down?
Dude, and beats her up. And this is her weakness. Remember, people she's faced, when they get her on the ground, they choke her out in seconds. Remember what Gadea did to her?
We got to keep in mind. I want to point this out early. The two fighters that Kovalkiewicz has lost to have been the two best strawweights in the world.
Fair.
So, I mean, I just got to put that out there first.
Yes.
With that being said, I see the one glaring difference between these two ladies is Jessica Andrade always has the strength difference. She always has the strength advantage. And although Carolina Kovalkiewicz is a big, strong, strapping lady who is very strong on the ball of her feet, once this fight gets to the ground, she is like a tortoise on a beach. And it's really that simple. I am going to take Andrade to win this fight by submission.
I would also add that Andrade walks through strikes. She is just a mule.
That she does.
She
does
just walks through strikes. Okay.
She does eat them.
So Carolina does not have the knockout power.
Yeah. I agree.
She might as well be the Ken to the former champions Ryu.
I wouldn't say that she doesn't have the power, because if you look back at the film, it's been some hammer time.
It has, but those people had no chin.
Okay. All right.
So you play that game against Andrade. She's gonna take your five Muay Thai combos, and once she gets her hands around you, she get that power, puts you down on the ground. And when she starts dropping them bombs,
I would say there is one thing to watch out for.
Okay.
When I watched Andrade, I decided to go back from her all the way back to her first fight in the UFC, which was against Liz Carmouche.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I saw that remained the same from then till now is when she comes in, her right hand is extremely low.
Yes.
Kovalkiewicz can take advantage of that with a lead leg head kick.
Agreed.
So watch out for that early.
No, I mean, but I think she can tank through that.
I think Andrade is definitely going to be in the fight the whole time, but I think Carolina has enough to mix it up.
Okay.
Technique-wise, and pitter-patter up until to the majority decision or unanimous decision. Andrade is no joke too. She's always in the fight. And she's scrappy. She's always going. She's a go getter. But Carolina's smart. She's been through the gauntlet with Joanna, and she's got that experience where she's just gonna. She's got spinning back fists. She's got the push kicks. She's got the high kicks. She's gonna be bouncing around and avoiding some of the things you guys are talking about. I think.
I'm just wondering whether or not Kovalkovich's coaches have seen the same thing on film that I've seen.
Mm.
Because if they have, watch for that lead head kick early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that does scare me about this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, sure, you can have all the chin in the world until your chin is met with a shin.
I'd also say, conversely, Carolina has a serious problem on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
I have not seen any progress on the ground.
I completely agree.
And you're fighting somebody who does jiu-jitsu tournaments weekly for fun.
Yeah, that's what my thinking was more aligned with, like, the mix of Fred and JK, where I was thinking Carolina was going to be, you know, fighting her off with the jab, pitter-patter in the strikes, for about a round and a half, and then Jessica gets that takedown and gets the submission. And my pick was her second round submission for Andrade. Right. Is it safe to say that this is a clear shot at Rose Namajunas's title, number one contender?
I think that's extremely fair to say.
I think that'll be a fun fight,
Andrade. Except for the fact that the business a hole in me says the winner of this just fights Joanna, and we do the trilogy because it brings in money.
That's a valid point.
Okay.
I think that's a valid point. You're starting with that argument.
Hold on. Let me finish. I think that's a valid point. However, with that being said, when you get your behind ran through twice, you can't see the champ again. I'm sorry.
I think that what you're saying is what's right. I agree with it. Mm-hmm. I just want to speak on behalf of this force that's running the world called capitalism and warn you. Prepare for disappointment.
Notice that Dotson didn't see Johnson a third time.
But
notice that Benavides didn't either.
He didn't climb the ranks the way though.
Should I even open that door?
What is Young Jacek done? She hasn't climbed no ladder. The only ladder she has climbed is the ladder of delusion.
Now you know where it starts. Yeah,
it's the ladder of delusion. Have you guys been watching those Joanna Jacek interviews? She sounds like a nutcase.
We have been texting back and forth.
Where you at, Mikey Mo?
You know where I stand on this. You know I agree with you.
No, I know you agree. I'm just pointing this out for the Cage Cousins.
Just in case I didn't make it clear, you know Rose is like from our school, right? Yeah, so we're always going to be Team Rose, even if she's wrong.
Rose
could have thrown that dolly at Conor McGregor and be like, well, maybe I should have moved it out the way.
I mean,
why do you have to park the bus there? You know what I mean?
I mean, shoot.
Okay?
Why didn't you just levitate the bus?
I'm just trying to frame the conversation with my good friends so when it happens, you don't get outraged so you understand where the money's at.
I completely agree with your assessment.
JK has a point. Joanna's a little bit crazy, but that is probably to Brett's point where this sells his fight because people see that Joanna's crazy and she's all speaking like she's still the champ, you know?
Because they want to see Rose beat up the bully again. Everybody wants to see Rose beat her up and knock her out after she's talking about, I'm the boogeyman, I kill you. They want to see that.
I mean, just the...
Rose is doing teen... MTV and Vogue Awards and
just
ESPYs.
The simple.
I want to see it.
Just the simple, slight delusion for her to have the audacity, the gall, and dare I say, the testicular fortitude to sit up there on a doggone press conference stage and talk about I'm the queen. Nah, son, you're not the queen. You might be a princess in Disneyland. But not the queen of the strawweight division. I'm gonna need you to get some smelling salts and wake the hell up. How about that?
We're gonna bring it back.
If Jessica wins, they might have set that fight up with Rose. Carolina has already fought Rose.
But
so.
Was this thought brought on by the fact that Rose did express that she's like, okay, now I'm the champ. I've defended. I've shown it wasn't just a fluke. Now let me get some vacation time in.
This was also then, Rose saying, you need to admit who the actual best is.
But what I'm saying is Brett saying, oh, well, they'll throw Joanna and the winner of Andrade and Carolina
Y'all, I love because you
that's
to death.
That's a lot of time off.
I feel
for
like
Rose
we speak
too.
English, but we talk in different dialects. Let me explain something to you. I'm gonna give you an analogy. There are people who wear bicycle gear all the time, tight pants and all those things and the Italian things, and they buy all this bicycle gear. They never ride a bike. That's what's called casual. The people who actually wear the gear and ride the bike, they're called a niche market. Okay? UFC is still, although it's growing, like soccer, it's still dominated by casuals, right? Speaking of casuals.
Well, casual fans dominate all major all professionals.
Thank you.
Across the board.
Which is why the NFL is having trouble. It's a their conversion rate. So the casual audience wants to see Joanna and Rose. And speaking of casuals, Dylan Dennis, I'm not going to warn you again. Do not use language from the hip-hop community if you do not contribute to it.
Stop it.
And all your fanboys on your page, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you.
Stop it.
Stay away from our culture if you're not going to contribute to it.
Matter of fact.
I don't speak in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and say os because I haven't paid my dues to Brazilian jiu-jitsu like my brother has. I think you should respect our culture.
Matter of fact, let me just take this a step further. You got to pay to get in this lane, kid. It's just that simple. You got to pay to get in the lane.
What we're referring to is Dylan Gannis called us out on Instagram.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because he likes him and his he who shall not be named. That's what we call him, the Dark Lord here. Yes. They like to use hip-hop quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I took offense to it and said, you know, you should leave that out of your mouth, especially when you're talking about one Khabib Nurmagomedov. And the response was, that's not your culture. And I'm like, really?
Really?
Really? So,
really?
So how does that work in jiu-jitsu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if I, you know, if I went to jiu-jitsu, can I walk around in a gi
and wear
a black belt and mm-hmm. say that I'm a Gracie? Right? Like, I have to pay dues to the culture, right?
Yeah.
So he tried to make this fictitious argument. I was like, it's interesting when it's people of color, there's no culture and everybody can share it. But when it's not people of color, all of a sudden, wait, you got to pay your dues.
First of all, Dylan Dennis, I'm talking to you, and I'm just going to speak straight to you right now. See, your people are guilty of robbing culture across the world for the last 600 years. So how dare you come at us talking about what you can and can't do with our culture? Son, stay in your lane.
And if you have a problem, JK would like to see you.
No problem. Come see me.
And what,
matter of fact, hey, hit us up on our Instagram. We can have a conversation.
JK would like to have a sparring match with you. I would have a sparring match with you, but I don't want to have to fill out a form for beating up somebody smaller. Anyways, we're going to move on. Right now, we symbolize the future. It's great. This is an exciting moment, what we're going to talk about. We are now at the co-main event of the evening.
Oh,
and
boy.
Let's put some context to why this
oh,
is important.
Boy.
One, Nico Montoya.
Montano,
sorry. I've been watching too much Scarface. Versus Valentina, the Bullet Shevchenko.
Shevchenko.
He is African and speaks 6 languages. I'm American. I lose all language after I get into college. Facts. Okay, why is this contextually important? Nico is our first, I can't think of another person, a first pronounced Native American, First Nations, indigenous USC fighter on a large scale.
That is correct.
There might be other, and respectfully, there might be other Native American fighters who have been of high profile in the UFC. I can't think of you, but definitely seeing her story about going from Muay Thai and that movement, and I actually remember when people were starting going to reservations and training martial arts back in the day, so it's really cool to see this. And also being the first UFC women's flyweight champion coming out of the tough competition, which I was heartbroken that it wasn't Sajara Eubanks, but that's life. Versus maybe my second favorite woman fighter ever, the Bullet, who brings a Sancho-style kickboxing with just an aggression. It's just this, it's almost... it's almost like watching Crow Cop as a woman. And surprisingly, although ethnically Eastern European, culturally, And nationality-wise, Peruvian. So she brings a South American flair to it, too. And you may have remembered she has fought Amanda Nunes to close decisions twice. She obliterated... who did she choke out?
Juliana Pena.
That's right. When Isha was like, oh, my God. And I was like, no. The bullet's about to destroy your girl.
And by the way, Shevchenko is not Dagestani, but she is from a neighboring country.
Absolutely.
Kyrgyzstan.
Right, right. And by the way, her sister. Her sister was on Dana White's...
Antonia Shevchenko.
She was on Dana White's...
Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Did you see that fight?
I did.
Are they from Oakland?
There might
Why did every time she landed a punch, it's like, hey!
Hey!
Hey! Hey! I was like, are y'all from the town?
That's a Muay Thai thing, but yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Muay Thai from Oakland? Yeah. No. Maybe Oakland's in Thailand.
Maybe.
It's hot. Okay, never mind. So this is an incredible fight. However, I'm really worried. I like both of these fighters. And as we always have the saying, you're not really a champ until you defend it. So we got to really see where this is going to go. There's a lot of pressure here. We have not seen the champion defend their belt. They haven't been active for a year. I'm a little worried about that. And I know that Valentina has definitely been up in her bag of tricks. And her former training partner before this was none other
than the strawweight champion, Rose Namajunas.
Very dangerous. Mm-hmm. I love you very much, Nico, and I think you're going to have a long and lasting career, but I do believe that the era of the Valentina sisters has arrived, and I do believe that this is going to end up by a fourth round knockout with some disgusting knees.
I'm just going to make this short and sweet.
Stop talking about me.
There is nothing in Montano's game that I see poses a threat to Shevchenko on literally any level, be it striking, in the clinch, on the ground. She literally has nothing for Shevchenko, period. In short, this is going to be quick, and there is not a snowball's chance in hell that Montano will retain the championship.
Basically, you got to stab her.
Shevchenko.
You got to hit her with a bottle.
KO.
You got to cut her braids off or something.
Yeah. Nico has heart. But I wrote right here, Valentina by landslide TKO. Nico needs a lot more experience. Valentina has tons of experience. Fought for the belt.
Yes.
The way she fights, the tenacity that Valentina brings, it's intense. And I don't think Nico is at all prepared for that level.
We're talking about a woman that went toe-to-toe with the best pound-for-pound fighter in women's MMA in Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
And went toe-to-toe with her.
Mm-hmm. And beat Holly Holmes, yep.
And there's just not a snowball's chance in hell that Montano will win this fight.
There is one chance
if she gets a glove that brings together all these jewels of the universe, she could snap her finger and take out half of Shevchenko's abilities. But other than that,
I like how he keeps butchering her name, but in different
purpose.
Ways.
Remember, we have to do the old black uncle thing here. I like that girl. What her name is? Shevchenko. What's her name? Ivanka Trump. What? I like that girl. She got the tattoo.
Yeah, and props to Nico. She's been slept on throughout that whole competition.
She
is tough. She was the underdog in every fight. So. Yeah. In one instance, I can't count her out, but I agree with everything that was said here. I picked her as my very first pick in our MMA fantasy league, and as soon as Shevchenko won that last fight, I was like, there goes my belt.
There goes my belt.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Pull the parachute.
He texted me that day. He's like, well, I quit. I was like, what's wrong? I thought it was something else. He's like, man, the bullet just joined the flyweights. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
And the one word that comes to mind every time I think about Valentina Shevchenko is just savage.
Timber!
Savage.
Yep.
So, I'm going second round TKO.
I just go back to that Juliana Pena fight where I tried to warn Isha. And I was like, look, your girl's sitting there talking about marriage, making cups of coffee. The Bullet is sitting on a mountain in Denver doing yoga poses and working on her sidekick. I mean, if you think this fight
big
is
shout
going
out
well,
to Miss Horton, by the way. Yeah. Get at me soon, girl.
Yeah, if you think this fight's going your way, I'm sorry. I think we're unanimous in this. It's still going to be fun to watch, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'd also
yes,
say yes. back to your comment, Brain, I think the problem with Nico also, unfortunately, is everybody slept on the talent, and I think so many women in that division have developed since those last fight that yeah. you could almost throw them all in the tournament again, and you would get very different results.
True.
The people who are at the top of the tournament have wilted, you know, and the rest have really ground. Like, look at Roxanne Modafferi.
Yeah.
She's a different fighter.
She looked like a whole
she's a different fighter. Fighter. It's a different game, right? So...
And now she's now the kids' jiu-jitsu coach over at Syndicate MMA.
Right. Yeah. Training with none other than Khalil Rountree. Very excited. Moving on to this moment, do you want to lead us in? It is now time
for the main event of the evening. Introducing first, fighting out of the blue corner, he is the man from England, the type of guy that Josh Shia says cannot fight. Ladies and gentlemen, Darren the Gorilla Till. And fighting out of the red corner, the man hailing from Ferguson, Missouri, by way of St. Louis, he is the welterweight champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the chosen one, Tyron Woodley.
He even got the buffer roll, too. I mean, I'm so proud of you.
Well, you got to get wireless headphones so he could do the 360, too.
And the jump. He's got to get the jump.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him. So a couple things before we start. Let's start with the foolishness. Is that your girlfriend, Gisette, on your arm, or is that Beyonce?
Definitely not Beyonce.
I don't know. He's got some issues.
He ain't that crazy in love.
He is that crazy in love. Before I want to talk about... Tyron, let's talk about Darren Till. This is really a middleweight who pretends to be a 170.
Man, listen.
Right.
He has got incredible Muay Thai. He is a darling of many of the Muay Thai community in London. But he is also the disciple of one of Brain and I's favorite fighters. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Nope.
Dan? Remember the British guy with that? What?
Yeah. Dan Hardy?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Dan Hardy is the one who really got him to MMA. Yeah. They spent a lot of time. Do you know it's Dan Hardy is always the one who interviews him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. So.
This is before he went to Brazil?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when he's a kid, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But speaking of Brazil, one thing to think about is I've never really seen Till tested on the ground. Okay, so now let's also bring up one thing that he said. One thing that he has said that it was really interesting.
He's the best in the world.
He also said the thing that he's fighting with Tyron Woodley, everyone thinks it's his wrestling and his striking. He said the thing that makes Tyron Woodley so dominant is his intelligence. He said he is the most intelligent and cerebral fighter in the history of MMA, and if you don't think he's smart, that's how you lose. And for him to look the way he does and talk the way he does, I thought that was really interesting. Flip side, Tyron Woodley on a certain podcast, shout out to Joe Rogan, said two years ago, I watch all the welterweights and I know eventually I'm going to have to face Darren Till and he's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both, you know, This is a number game to these guys. They've been watching each other across the room for a long time.
Yeah.
What can we say about Tyron Woodley? Very dominant welterweight, on the track to be the most dominant welterweight. Very outspoken. Maybe the leader of the woke tribe of MMA. Powerful wrestler. His striking is coming. And just getting more and more powerful in terms of it. He's also the criticism has often been his two fights against what's his name?
Stephen Thompson.
Thompson. Yeah.
And I call it what's his name because nobody really knows Thompson's name. They just wanted to see Tyron Woodley lose. But how do you fight? Boy. How do you fight a kickboxer? So for us as martial artists, you watch that fight and you're like, you did it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, I was in a room full of guys I fight with, and we all agreed, yeah, that was pretty boring. Mm-hmm. So he did it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It still sucked as a fight.
Yeah.
And the fight with Maya as well.
Right, he does it right. His strategy and his game plan is correct.
Completely on point.
Right. You're not going to get in the water with the alligator, right?
I mean, exactly. Yeah, is it entertaining, though? Here we go back to the casual.
It depends.
And then you look at the fight with Wonder Boy and Till. It was the same exact thing.
Yeah.
He did it right for fighting Wonder Boy style, but it was boring.
The bottom line is
he had more violence in his post-fight speech with Stephen Thompson, Darren Till did, than the entire 25-minute fight.
Bottom line is this. You're going to avoid getting your head kicked off. End of story. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to jump out of the plane without a parachute?
Agreed. Well, most people do. This is America. What if 170 is such a technical division that it is a boring division? What if 170 is for martial arts?
Who's the guy that was the long-running champion?
I'm saying.
Safety first.
But was it safety? Yeah, I mean, again, you look at his strategies. I mean,
the game plan always worked. But
Brain, is there a bigger hater of GSP fights than Brett Sweet?
Could be. Brain damage.
I mean, we would spend most of the fight like, oh, my God, I want to sleep. But you can't criticize the technique. He does everything right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, now that I look at this division, this is one of those things like, there's a coach that Fred and I have that said something very astute. And he was talking about how real martial arts duels actually happen, whether it's a sport or actually masters fighting. He says, generally, two guys fight and either one guy wins amazingly and it's very quick. And it's devastating. Or both people chop each other up and they have irreparable damage for the rest of their life, but it's pretty much a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wonder if the welterweight division is the epitome of that.
That's
thinking about Robbie Lawler and the Red King. Thinking about this, like either it's one-sided and somebody gets obliterated, or you get somebody who's so equally matched that it's a super chess game. Doesn't really sell a lot of tickets because nobody's getting obliterated.
But there have been some wars. Because when you bring up Lawler and Rory, those were some good fights.
They were never the same after.
True, and exactly.
I mean, ended their careers.
Condit and Lawler.
For me, especially because I have been heavily involved with the welterweight division and what's been going on there, right? One of the things that I have experienced the most is that for most people, Tyron Woodley being the champion is the worst thing that could have happened.
Yes.
And you know why.
It's almost as bad as Anderson Silva being the 185 champion.
Yeah. And you know why.
Whatever.
Is it because he's outspoken?
No, it's not that.
That in conjunction with the fact that he shares a hue the same as mine.
Oh, yeah. I feel you on that one.
It's really just that simple.
But that's what I'm saying, with the conscience that he has.
Yes, and the one thing that I have learned throughout the course of my life, and yes, you can at me, the most hated thing in the world and the scariest thing in the world is a man of color who is intelligent and doesn't fall for the okey-doke.
Right. Undebatable.
Point blank, period. I don't care how you slice it. Men of color who are intelligent and are articulate and can fight battles without ever throwing a fist scare the hell out of the masses.
I didn't think Anderson was hated for any of that. He was definitely respected a lot of.
Yes, but he was not outspoken.
Okay.
But I think you and I felt emotional about that. We liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Brain and I went to this fight and everybody to the right of us were Anderson fans. Everybody to the left pretended they were Nick Diaz fans. And when we asked them who Nick Diaz was, they couldn't answer.
Right.
But the whole fight, they kept saying, kill him, kill that. And we said, kill that what? Finish the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I actually, remember that? I actually asked the dude, I said, finish the sentence. He looked at me and left.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? That's why we actually started the podcast.
Where was the fight? Vegas?
Vegas.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And the looks on people's faces, like there was Don't get me wrong. There was a Diaz contingent there.
Yeah.
But that was the majority of the people came there to see Anderson get his leg broken.
And that's the same thing that happened with Tyron Woodley when he won the fight. I happened to be at that fight. When he won the fight, people were like, oh, well, Tyron still sucks. And I was like, what you really mean is that he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me and then they walked off. And I said, exactly.
And the reality is what they really want to see is Tyron and Colby.
Right.
As much as they hate it, they really want to see Tyron and Colby. They're hoping. They want that new Chael Sonnen. How can Darren Till win?
He's not nearly that intelligent.
How can Darren Till win? Can he win?
Oh, of course he can. He's got power.
He's got the power.
I think Tyron's definitely got the better skill set. He's more well-rounded, and he's going to have a game plan to negate everything that Darren Till is good at. But he also could get caught.
I was watching all of Tyron's fights, the past five or six fights. Mm-hmm. He's backpedaling a lot right off the bell. He's backpedaling, but that's why he's so cerebral, is because he's backpedaling and waiting for his chance. So how he's been winning is that he's get this one power leg shot that sets up and derails the whole plan with his opponents, and then takes advantage of him finishing them.
Yes.
That's what happened to all of his wins so far, at least the finishes.
Yeah.
But with Darren Till, his southpaw, he's got a very wide stance. And you know from sparring that whoever wins that outside leg on a southpaw versus an orthodox stance wins the fight.
Yeah.
And Darren Till also has this weird, like, hands-up kind of mechanism.
Yes.
So the only thing that Tyron can do is probably a leg kick, but then with that wide stance, it'll be tough to get that outside leg kick. And with the hands in the way, it's going to be tough with the overhand right.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Darren for a decision.
Mm.
Decision win. I don't think Darren's going to finish Tyron.
No.
I don't think Tyron, I just don't know. Like, Darren's just got this 4-inch height advantage on Tyron, and I don't think he's faced somebody with that challenge before.
He has.
Yes, okay.
He has.
Oh, Rory. Rory, probably.
Yeah, but that's what scares me, is that in the Rory fight, Tyron looked like he was in his own head. And
well, you know why, right? You know why?
I don't know why. I've never understood that fight.
Where was the fight?
Oh,
Canada.
Oh, right.
We stand on guard for thee.
What happened that week?
I have no idea.
Mike Brown was murdered and left in the street.
Oh, Ferguson. I never realized
That was the same week. That's why he looked that way.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, because he really wants to
be at home.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what that was. I don't know. I haven't talked to Tyron about that, but I would throw that out there. You brought up a great point, Fred. How would Tyron win if he's going to deal with this strategy?
Smelling salts. What I see is
crazy.
Very similar to how he put out Robbie Lawler. You're going to see a lot of feints, a lot of jab to begin with, followed by hoping that he can get Darren Till off kilter with the feint and come over the top with the right hand.
Yeah.
But Darren has this imposing power where he's moving forward. He would have to jog him with a strong
technique. Which also falls into Tyron's
game
because at that point, once it's a double leg and he puts you on the shoulder, you're going for a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't want Tyron to fall into a firefight with this, because that's what happened when he fought Nate Marquardt, when he had the belt in Strikeforce and he ended up getting pushed up against the cage and the combo just, obliterated him. I feel like that was something that was one of the best things to ever happen to Tyron.
Yeah. Tyron is a totally different fighter now than he was.
Yeah, it made him expand his camp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It made him spend more time with Dean Thomas. It made him go over and start hanging out with the Pettises. I don't want to be a hater, but Nate Marquardt was one of the first people to be a victim to something called USADA.
Dun, 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 dun.
That is true. That is true.
He was huge.
Yeah. So.
But what I'm saying is that if he gets into a brawl, that's
agreed.
When things could start becoming
a
dangerous one.
So a brawl benefits Darren Till. Yeah. I think Fred brought up a great point, though. I do want to warn you guys. I think as of last month, we saw that belts can change hands on decisions now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he means close decisions.
Real close.
Yeah. Just decisions.
Razor thin.
I think decisions. I think if you do not play ball with the management, belts can change hands with decisions.
Gillette razor thin.
It wasn't that close to me. It was like three rounds versus two rounds. That's not close to me.
I meant in terms of the challenger actually winning the belt.
Yeah, like meaning exactly. So to maintain his status as champion, Tyron has to either finish or get at least two knockdowns. He has to get a knockdown. He has to get a knockdown per round. He can get away with a takedown per round, but he has to get two knockdowns. He doesn't have to knock out, but that has to be the goal.
So the one thing that I do also notice, how I was talking about Darren's hands up like this, it's very protective of looping punches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Tyron's punches are looping.
Yeah, they're all.
Yes, and yes, his right hand is.
Yeah, and if you look at, he doesn't have a lot of straight techniques. Like you would have to do that to someone with his hands out like this.
Yeah.
Definitely straight attacks.
Then punches. what I would suggest that you look out for, because we also need to keep in mind that Duke Rufus is his coach.
Yes.
And what I would see Duke Rufus saying after watching that film on Darren Till is, if you get inside, he's going to be extremely susceptible to the hook to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's one thing that I would watch out for. And obviously, let's be honest, Darren Till is not very athletic. He's very stiff. He's very stiff and he's very slow. And when you're facing a guy with the athleticism of a Tyron Woodley, you need to be very careful of the explosive strike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're also fighting somebody who doesn't believe in game plans. They figured out the night of.
He's young, confident, you know? That's just typical, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that you brought up that hook to the body, because I didn't think of that one bit. And now that you've said that, I feel like that's going to be something.
He's
that
wide open in every single fight.
Especially southpaw to orthodox stance. You know?
That could be.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think leg kick and that would be the solution for Tyron.
Also the kick to the body.
Yeah.
I was about to say the liver kick.
Mm-hmm.
Though Darren has this little swiping thing, that Muay Thai swiping thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that might be
catching the swiping
this
block.
If I was Tyron, I would kick low kicks, beat up the front leg kick,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts opening up the hook to the body. Then overhead right would probably seal the deal.
Mm-hmm. And again, one of you guys brought it up earlier. We haven't seen much of Till's ground defense, and you know Tyron's got a few submissions to his record. We know he started as a wrestler and became a striker.
He's been gun-shy on the shots for some reason. I don't know. Like, I haven't seen him shoot in a long time.
Who are we talking about?
Tyron. Yeah.
The reason why is it depends on the person that he's fighting.
Yeah, he hasn't faced anybody that
so
needs
he hasn't
to
needed to do that. And if he does do it, it would have been to somebody extremely
and the
dangerous,
last three,
like a Damian Maya.
Yeah,
right. The last three people that he's fought were looking for it, right? So if you go to the ground with Damian Maya, like you said, that's
a
swimming with a crocodile.
It's a wrap.
Wonder Boy is looking. I mean, what he did to Johnny Hendricks was every time that guy shot, he just got that roundhouse to the head,
mm-hmm.
caught him every time. So mm-hmm. I think that's what he was looking for. This has been a range of fun.
Yes, it has.
I have really enjoyed. We hope that you will come back every month.
Please do, Freddie.
Yeah, we will make you food. We will bribe you with coffee. We'll make it easy on you. We'll pick you up.
This was fun. Thank you guys for having me. You know,
this was something
I could not say no to.
Certainly an honor to have you here.
Yeah. I like how you just throw out techniques after techniques. It really just points out some stuff, and it also I have so many questions for you this weekend. as always, I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by
the evil doctor, J.K. Akins.
As well as co-founder.
Brain Damage.
And we are brought with our special guest, who we're hoping will be a reoccurring member.
Fred Yu.
And, of course, everything brought to you production-wise and thought about by the nefarious and amazing super producer, Deshaun Davis at Dream Air Productions. Find him on BeatStar. And other than that, we will see you in a month. And without further ado,
chill!